Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper and Company Law Firm
on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon. I'm Jaron Vecchio. And joining me over the phone is Mark Parisien, who is a wildland fire research scientist with Natural Resources Canada. Mark, I appreciate you taking a couple of minutes, and I had a chance to read up on a recent study that you were a part of, looking into wildfires. And of course, anytime we hear the word wildfire, I feel like everyone in Fort McMurray, pays attention and wants to learn a little bit more. And your study was very unique, as you were looking at whether, you know, fire smart activities, you know, fire suppression activities around communities was actually raising the risk for, you know, bigger wildfires. Can you just kind of explain maybe the focus of your study?
Yeah, for sure. So this all starts with this idea that recently burned forests are less flammable than older forests. Mm-hmm. Makes sense, right? There's less plant material, there's less biomass to burn. And because we've become really good at putting out fires before they become large, and because we focus that fire suppression effort where the values are, so around communities, so we want to protect life, we want to protect our homes, we want to protect infrastructure, we've been putting out disproportionately more fire around communities than further out in the wildlands. So what we found is that around communities in the boreal forest of Canada, there's a significant number of them that are in a fire deficit. That means that there's less fire around the community than there would be further from the community, so more than 25 kilometers from the communities. And because we've made this forest artificially old, if you will, by virtue of that, we've increased the risk of wildland fire. Now, there's a lot of nuances to this story. First of all, every community is different. Every setting is different. Some communities are really protected naturally because they're on an island or by a really large lake. However, because it was a really consistent signal across the country, we do believe we're seeing something here.
When you obviously, you know, when you hear that, less wildfires and we're doing more fire smart activities around communities, obviously that sounds like a positive. But maybe sure. For those who don't know, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Mark, but, you know, wildfires are an important thing in big forests like the boreal forest. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So since the glaciers retreated, the forest has co-evolved, if you will, with fire. So fire is definitely part of the ecosystem. So fire can be really tragic for people, but it's not tragic for the forest. The forest is used to large and intense fires.
Okay. So I'm just trying to clarify. So the big risk here is that much of these, I guess, parts of the forest around a lot of communities are rather older because they haven't experienced a wildfire right now, which puts the risk up. Is that correct?
Yeah, so that's right. So the forest is older around some communities than it would be further away in the wildlands. So you don't have that reduced flammability in some parts that you have from recent wildfires. And this is not to say that fire suppression is bad. It's quite the opposite. Fire suppression is critically important. If we didn't have fire suppression, we'd be in big, big trouble. But it's the purpose of the study was just to kind of get us thinking about what we can do differently over the long run to reduce the long-term risk of these wildfires. And you mentioned FireSmart earlier. So FireSmart's an excellent program where we're thinking about fires in more of a proactive manner. So we're going to go in and modify the forest. We're going to cut where it makes sense. And if we can, we can do some prescribed burning. We can protect our houses by having more non-flammable building material. So we're kind of thinking about fire in a more proactive manner, not a strictly reactive manner of like, okay, I've got an ignition, I need to deal with this. So it's a little bit of both, right? So there's a bit of a balance in terms of what we do when we get fire ignitions, the action we take, but also thinking a bit, 10, 15, 30 years down the line.
This really, again, like you said, sounds like you're not obviously attacking fire smart activities, fire suppression, but maybe giving, you know, some communities that haven't seen a wildfire in a long time, maybe a heads up that, you know, you guys are at a higher risk, you know, and maybe to, you know, keep an eye on that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, I'm not attacking fire suppression and the Fire Smart program at all. They we couldn't live safely in a lot of our communities without them. It's really more of it's what we call the fire paradox. And the fire paradox is not a new thing, and it's been discussed and kind of documented in other parts of the world, notably in the Western U.S. for a while now. So we put out these fires, and we've gotten real good at putting out these fires. But by doing this, we make the forest more flammable. So this is where the paradox kicks in. And putting out those fires isn't necessarily a bad thing, because you're gaining some time here. So you have time to go in and perhaps do some modification of your forest around the communities. You can do like extra bits of protection. Sometimes you have like big rivers or big lakes you can work with, and you can kind of connect those and just kind of create some really really maximize your landscape to reduce the ignition and the spread of these large fires.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Mark Parisien, wildland fire research scientist with Natural Resources Canada.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mark Parisien, wildland fire research scientist with Natural Resources Canada. And we're talking about a recent study noting that fire suppression activities may actually be raising the risk of wildfires around communities in the boreal forest, as these trees are being able to survive much longer, which in turn is making them more flammable. I gotta ask, obviously, being stationed here in Fort McMurray, where does the community maybe sit in this scenario? Obviously, we had, you know, the devastating Horse River wildfire in 2016. So because, you know, much of the forest around the community, you know, was burnt, and I would say it's, you know, still regrowing, it's quite young. Would it be, you know, safe to say that our risk is maybe a little lower than other communities because of that fire?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, the risk is never zero, right? Wildfires are can become really intense, and they can burn through all kinds of forests, even quite young forests, but it's just not as likely. So these, in general, I think it'd be safe to say that Fort McMurray has a much lower likelihood of reburning for a couple decades because you've had this large wildfire burning all around you. And again, you know, you have to, there's all kinds of situations and all kinds of exceptions And a really good exception is another Alberta community, High Level. I was just there a couple weeks ago doing some work. And in the fire business, we always think, you know, like when you've got these large broadleaf stands, like these big aspen forests, these aspen forests are not supposed to burn really well. They've kind of got a, you know, they hold a lot of water, and just by the structure of the plant, they don't carry fire as well as some conifers do. However, that fire burnt through a lot, and I mean a lot of aspen. So what's going on here? We went in and we're studying this fire right now, but it just goes to show, you know, there's fire is not nearly as predictable as we would like it to be, and there's still a lot to learn, and we just have to try to live safely with wildfire.
For sure. Again, reading your study, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but Fort McMurray really seems like a good example of, you know, telling these communities to, you know, really look at the risk. As yes, there's countless wildfires, you know, in the Fort McMurray forest area every year, but nothing like what we had in 2016. And we've been doing fire smart activities, fire suppressions for years, and then all of a sudden that really, you know, caught up with us, how old that forest was around the community. So is it safe to say that Fort McMurray, you know, back in 2016 was a prime example for this study?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak kind of intimately in terms of the management side, because my job is I'm a fire researcher, so I look at the data after the fact. So, you know, in hindsight, it's 2020, of course. But if you look at the broader landscape, Fort McMurray is definitely sitting in a part of North America that burns a lot. And there's been a lot historically, and thinking of the last century, there's been a lot of really large fires in that area, northern Saskatchewan, on the Northwest Territories side as well. Many of you will remember that the 2014 wildfires around Yellowknife, Fort Providence, just huge fires. So when you look at Fort McMurray, where it's sitting in a very flammable part of the world, and you look at the recent fires that have occurred right around town, there's not a whole lot prior to the 2016 fire. So what happened, for sure, maybe it's the luck of the draw, or maybe there is an effect of this kind of fire suppression. We've been really good at putting fires around town, and it created a fairly continuous older forest. Of course, we do forestry, we do other things around Fort McMurray that have reduced the fuel load, but it does seem like we've been really good at putting out fires right around the city over the last few decades.
For sure. Well, Mark, is there anything else you'd like to add? Maybe we didn't have a chance to chat about.
Yeah, I guess I just want to emphasize this idea that just kind of that living and working in these fire-prone landscapes, it's kind of a, you know, constant effort, and you need constant vigilance to really live with the risk and adapt to the situation. And there's always been large wildfires in the boreal forest, and there's a lot of different things we can do to have a more holistic approach to this fire management. And I think that we're moving in the right direction in Alberta and in Canada to really do things that are, again, more proactive and not strictly reactive with respect to fire. So, but yeah, you can never let your guard down. There's always lots of work to be done to protect our communities.
All right. Well, Mark, I appreciate you taking a couple minutes to come on the show and talk about this recent study.
Thanks a lot.
Once again, that was Mark Parisien, Wildland Fire Research Scientist with Natural Resources Canada. We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to be hearing from Alberta's new economy minister.
return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, before the break, we are chatting about a study done by Natural Resources Canada, which notes that fire suppression activities may actually make it more likely fires start around communities in the boreal forest, as these trees are much older, and that makes them more flammable. Now, they did note this is an attack on these activities, rather just maybe a suggestion that additional measures may be needed to help lower the risk. Anyway, we're now turning our attention over to Alberta's new economy minister, and that is Doug Schweitzer. And Minister Schweitzer, I appreciate you taking a couple minutes to join me over the phone.
And I know you were recently given this new role, as you were previously the Minister of Justice and Solicitor General. So maybe just to start off with your thoughts on taking this new role with the province.
Well, this is one thing I wanted to flag too. This is my first interview in this new position, and I saw it in my calendar from Fort McMurray, and I said, you know, we have to do that as the first interview, because Fort McMurray has been the engine of the Canadian economy for so long. And so many people out there, you know, the smart folks, they want to write off Fort Mac, they want to write off the oil and gas industry, and that is not the case. It's going to continue to be an economic driver for Canada. It's going to continue to be an economic driver for Alberta, and we want to make sure people there know that we've got their back and we're going to continue to fight for their jobs. And with my new ministry that we have here, it's refocused, it's going to have a broader mandate. We're going to make sure that Albertans know that job creation, getting people back to work, is priority number one. We're going to be working on lots of new innovative ways to diversify our economy, but we're going to build on the foundation that largely Fort McMurray has built.
Now, a big role in your new job is going to be focusing on Alberta's recovery plan. As you mentioned, you know, up here in Fort McMurray, we like to, you know, really see ourselves as, you know, the economic engine of not just Alberta, but Canada. Is it safe to say, and yes, there are a lot of communities in the province that also help with the economy, but is it safe to say that Fort McMurray may be, you know, the leading force when it comes to our recovery from COVID-19?
Well, I mean, when you're seeing, you know, oil and gas prices rebound, you know, consumption go up again, I mean, that's a good news story. And a lot of that new investment and growth, I think, we have to make sure that Fort McMurray is there. It's a big part of our economy, one of the most key elements for Alberta, as well as the Canadian economy. And we have to make sure that any future plans for the province of Alberta include a strong Fort McMurray, include a strong plan for our oil sands in the future there. Oh, somebody, I'm just about outside. Somebody's a horn, honked their horn.
There were some concerns, especially up here locally, in regards to maybe the, you know, the lack of funds coming from the federal government and making sure that the oil sector was protected when it came to COVID-19. Yes, I will say that we did see some funds when it came to cleaning up orphan wells, but we've been hearing from the province that, you know, more funds were needed. Now that, you know, we are talking about Fort McMurray and jobs and the economy, was there concerns about maybe that the oil and gas sector was maybe, you know, left behind a little bit in the start of this recovery, and do you think maybe more is needed to support it?
Well, you know what, in taking a look at this, you know, so many of us didn't know what was going to happen when this pandemic began. Mm-hmm. Hopefully there's some beginning signs of economic recovery. There's a beginning signs of a, you know, renewed consumption of oil and gas products is encouraging. But we're going to continue to, you know, make sure we fight for, you know, every single tax dollar that Alberta has contributed to the rest of the country. Alberta needs, you know, the federal government to continue providing the supports where required. We're going to continue to fight for that to make sure that, you know, our oil and gas industry has a future.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to the recovery, and I know that's going to be a big focus of you, and you have, you know, a big task on your shoulders, you and your ministry, in regards to this. Do we have a timeline on when maybe things can be, you know, go back to a sense of normalcy? I don't know if we'll ever go back to, you know, what it was like before the pandemic. Are you guys maybe looking at a 5 to 10 year plan, maybe a little bit more? What are your estimates on that?
You know what? More details are going to be rolled out this fall and in the coming weeks and months. But we are working right now on sector strategies as well for the future to make sure we can diversify our economy. I mean, the fact that we have such a developed oil sands was not just didn't just happen overnight. It was, you know, government was involved in it as well as, you know, scientists and innovation. I mean, it truly is like a massive science project that allowed for the oil sands to be developed. And you have to start thinking about where Alberta wants to be. How do we build on our strengths? You know, so many people here with engineering backgrounds, you know, well-educated population that, you know, are going to make sure that they're part of that future as well.
All right. Well, Minister Schweitzer, that's pretty much all the questions I have. I feel like you answered quite a bit, but is there anything else you'd like to ask? Maybe we didn't have a chance to chat about.
No, I just appreciate you taking the time and yeah, let your viewers know this is my first interview in the new job because Fort McMurray is such an important part of our economy.
Once again, that was Alberta's new Job, Economy, and Innovation Minister, Doug Schweitzer, talking about the importance Fort McMurray and the oil and gas sector are going to play in the province's recovery from the pandemic. Now, that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode?
Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.